Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Can I call a quick audible, and I promise you we'll get back to the Chiefs. I just saw this story come across my timeline. Per sources, Bill Belichick has discussed possible buyout options with North Carolina. Belichick has signaled a willingness to trigger his own $1 million buyout if he can find a soft landing with another team or somewhere in media. I don't want to take too much time on this, but Bill, please let me tell you what you should do, because I fear that you are a movie franchise that has just gone on for too long. And we've all seen movies like that. They probably should have stopped making Fast and the Furious movies after Paul Walker died. That was the end of the series. It was a perfect way to end the series. If you've seen the last movie that Paul Walker is in, when they play See You Again and he drives off, it's the perfect ending, and they kept making movies. And I get it. They're printing money. Now they're talking about they might not even be able to make the last one because they're so over budget. It probably just should have ended. Bill Belichick, when he was the coach of the New England Patriots, he probably should have just retired. But I get it. Bill wanted to prove to us that he could do it without Tom, and they made the playoffs that one year, and you're thinking, okay. And then it failed miserably. And Bill had a great job with NFL Network. I really think that Bill is good at the media thing when he shows his personality. But you let your ego, the NFL didn't want you. You want to try to be the all-time winningest coach. Nobody wanted you. And now you want to stick it to the New England Patriots. It is ironic to me that the one coach that for the longest time tried to preach about distractions, you know who the distraction is? It's you. The call is coming from inside the house. You're the problem. Bill, I'm going to give you some. This is free career advice. And I never thought I would be in this position that I would be giving Bill Belichick career advice. Somebody who has been so successful at their career. Bill, this is what you should do. Call Bill Simmons and just go do a podcast on The Ringer. You know that Bill, big devoted Red Sox fan, big devoted Boston fan, Patriots fan, will pay you what you think is fair for a podcast. And just go live the rest of your life. You got you a pretty little girl on your arms. Just sit there and watch all the Love Island and make all the TikToks and live the rest of your life. It can't be fun right now to be the head coach in North Carolina. We're finding out more and more stories. Parents don't seem to like it. You're getting your teeth kicked in on a night in, night out basis. No one seems to be having fun right now. You guys think that Bill's doing this for 2-3 more seasons? Or is Bill now looking for an escape plan? Bill, I'm telling you, call Bill Simmons and go work at The Ringer. Or if that doesn't work, call Colin Cowherd and go work for The Volume. They're always adding new podcasts. Go do a podcast with Colin Cowherd and John Middlecoff. That's what you need to do. And then why don't you be a regular on one of these shows, pop up on First Take once a week, make a good amount of money, and just live the rest of your life. You think Bill Belichick is doing in-home visits? Is Bill Belichick going to a high school game? Is Bill Belichick getting into a bidding war for a 19-year-old wide receiver in the transfer portal? Bill, stop it. This is nonsense. I'm trying to help you.
Why did Carolina think this was going to work?
Because it's Bill Belichick.
Yeah, but Bill, like, I understand that pro football and college football are the same sport. I get it. What it takes to be a great program head coach in college and what it takes to be a great head coach in the NFL are not one for one. Do you know what you don't deal with in the NFL? You don't deal with parents calling you and being like, why is my kid not playing? That's not a thing in the NFL. Patrick Mahomes' parents have never called Andy and been like, I don't like the play calling. That happens in college. You know what you have to do in the pros? You have to glad hand one person. You have to glad hand the owner. Do you know what to do in college? There could be 6 or 7 millionaires. You got to schmooze. It is, the jobs are different. And when he got hired, I feel like me and you thought, this isn't going to work. I didn't think it was going to fail to this level where it's 4 games in and holy shnikes, it's buyout time as long as I can find a cushy job. But this has been an unmitigated disaster for the Tar Heels, and I don't know why they went down this road. It seems like the Tar Heels fired Mac Brown, said he was too old, and then Jordan Hudson came into our lives, and they hired an older, less experienced college coach in Bill Belichick.
Someone just sent in, he's got enough money, he doesn't need to work. His girlfriend seemed like she likes things. So I would just, you know, just keep a little going around money. Hey, babe, you and your girls want to go on a brunch? It's on me. Here's a little cash. You know what I mean? Hey, you want the new Louis Vuittons that just came out? I got them for you. You want the new red bottoms? I got them for you. You know, why don't you take a little bit of this NFL Network money, a little bit of this First Take money? Bill, it's over. And now, more so than ever, there's a space for people like Bill Belichick. Every time I get on TikTok, John Gruden is on there. We know he has a good personality. We saw him with the quarterback camps. You're talking to quarterbacks. You're breaking down plays. Bill, set up a TikTok. Go do a podcast. That's all you got to do. This coaching thing, it's over. It's over. We didn't need Rush Hour 3. Rush Hour 1 and 2 were phenomenal. We didn't need Rush Hour 3. Rob, what's your movie franchise that you just, you know what? We just didn't need those. The Hangover. We only needed one. We didn't need 2 or 3. It was over. Bill, we didn't need this. Just sit down. Get out the game. Go to a podcast.
Go back to being on McAfee show. He was good on McAfee show.
100%. 100%. C-Dot, his girlfriend wasn't born when the Patriots won their first Super Bowl. Dude's a creep. You know what? I don't think Bill is a creep. You know what I think? I think Laszlo was the first one I ever heard say this. Horny is undefeated. It's undefeated. And I get it. If you're Bill and you've made a lot of great money in your life and you are a little bit lonely right now, you broke up with your old girlfriend, you know, maybe the hours got too demanding. Whatever reason you and the person you were with during all those years with the Patriots, y'all split up, and now you're looking for somebody to spend your time with, and I got all the money in the world, I'm going to the store and I'm getting me a nice little 20-something-year-old too. And that's what Bill did. So I don't think Bill's a creep. I really don't think he's a creep. I think he's a rich old man is what I think he is. And we've seen, if there's one, I would say, pretty consistent thing in history, it is rich old men going out and getting them a young thing to play with. And that's what I think Bill did. I'm not here to judge Bill's life. You're a consenting adult. She's a consenting adult. Hey, have at it, man. Have fun. I'm just telling you that this coaching thing, it is no longer for you. It is. It's no longer for you. It's over. It's done.
I will say, not to take a victory lap, do you remember when he and Michael Lombardi called North Carolina the 33rd NFL team? Woof. That's the thing they said. We're going to turn North Carolina into the 33rd pro team. They failed.
That might be the 33rd team in the ACC. They're terrible.
They're looking up at Wake Forest.
No, you don't ever want to be in that position. You don't never want to be in that position. You got Wake Forest looking down at you being, ooh, that's not a place you want to be. not a good place.
Imagine being a Carolina fan and the Pitt Panthers were like, "Ooh, that sounds like a bad program to cheer for."
Yeah, just Bill. I'm just telling you, man. I'm trying to tell you. Please call Bill Simmons. He'll save you from this. All right, we'll get back to the Chiefs on the other side. You guys have been texting in 913-586-7965. I asked Rob this question earlier. The Chiefs are a fill-in-the-blank team. Chiefs are a blank team. How would you fill it in? I'll give you my answer. Rob will give you his answer. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Tune in Mondays at 4 to hear the play-by-play voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus, on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I promise you we'll get to the Chiefs. I have a 30-second question to ask. Rob, is it more embarrassing when you fall up or down the stairs?
Ooh, up. Up's more embarrassing.
Okay. I just was curious what you thought.
Down's probably more painful, but up's more embarrassing.
Okay. I just wanted to know. 913-586-7965. When's the last time you fell up or down the stairs? I did it earlier today.
I say it's been a while for me.
I fell up the stairs as I was coming into work today.
It's not
and
great.
Then I did the look around, make sure nobody was make sure nobody was looking. It might be on the camera at work. They might have me on there.
Was it a full tumble or like a slip and you caught yourself? You looked around.
No, what happened was I was, you know how like you're like running up the stairs and yeah, I like tripped up the stairs and I fell and I like tried to brace my fall. It didn't end up good, but nobody was around. Nobody saw it. So I was just wondering what's worse. Is it to fall up or down the stairs?
I think pure embarrassment up.
Okay. I just was wondering.
Because down, people are like, are you okay? And there's a general care for your health. Up, people are like, what's going on?
Yeah, normally if you fall up the stairs like you did something.
Mm-hmm.
Like down, anything could have happened. It could be anything. When you fall up the stairs, it ain't good. It ain't good in the least bit. All right, so this is what we're going to do. Let's get back focused. Let's get back to the Chiefs. I've been in a fill-in-the-blank mood. The Chiefs are a blank team. How would you fill in the blank? The Chiefs are a blank team. We'll go through some of you guys' answers here coming up in a bit. So, Rob, I asked you this question earlier, and I said, don't tell me. I don't want to hear the answer. How would you fill in the blank right now for the Chiefs? The Chiefs are a blank team.
Fragmented. The Chiefs are a fragmented team. I think maybe for the first time in the Patrick Mahomes era, we are starting to see little cracks in the foundation. You don't usually see Andy Reid and Travis Kelce can do a little chest bump. You don't usually see Travis Kelce screaming at the right tackle. You don't see Drew Tranquil and Chris Jones having the issues they had in week one. You don't usually see effort issues with the Chiefs. Like, the Chiefs, it's not like they've been 48-0 over the last three seasons, but it's usually been all for one, one for all. We're connected. We are moving forward as a group. We're a team. We're one collective unit. I watched that Kingdom show on ESPN, and one thing that really stood out to me is they were a really strong group, connected, everyone, team type of energy. It feels like this year you're starting to see a little losing, and there are some cracks in that. So I think the Chiefs are a fragmented team. Not that it can't be corrected, not that you can't do some repairs, smooth that foundation up, and you're back to connected and all for one, one for all type of energy. But more so, we're seeing it on Sunday. It's bubbling up a little bit. The Chiefs appear to be a fragmented team.
The phrase that I would use is, it feels like we are in waiting. That's how I would describe it. The Chiefs are an in-waiting team. I feel like every conversation that we have had, and maybe that's my fault, your fault, the media's fault, whoever's fault that you think it is, it feels like every conversation that we have had comes with an asterisk. Well, they don't have Rashee Rice back. That we are almost there. Rashee Rice will be eligible to practice 1 week from today. And where I think some of the criticism has been fair with the Chiefs is, well, the Chiefs don't have their number one offensive skill position player. Their best running back, wide receiver, tight end, their best skill position player has been out for quite some time. They are about to get that player back. We're talking about a 25-year-old. I don't think he's maybe a legit number one receiver. Like, I don't think he's a Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, one of those guys. But we're talking about a very productive 1,000-yard wide receiver. I would say that's bigger than any move that they could possibly make when it comes to the trade deadline. Think of who they added last year around this time. This is when they added DeAndre Hopkins. We're talking about a guy who's on the tail end of his career, a guy who we think has, what, one, maybe two more seasons left in the league? We're talking about a guy who has potentially a decade left in the National Football League. So I feel like on the positive side, if you have been sort of waiting for Rashee Rice to get here, that is almost over. We are almost there. And I think at least some of our conversations about the Chiefs is going to change. But I also think, and maybe this is the negative side of the conversation, the other side of the coin is, I do think we have painted Rashee Rice like he is going to come back and solve all of their problems. On offense, now it's supposed to fix the defense, special teams. Like, we have kind of painted it like you can't evaluate anything that the Chiefs have done because they don't have their complete roster and they're about to get it. So I think in some ways, it's just sort of in waiting. It's the point that I made off the top of the show. The Chiefs, I would say, are in a very, very unique place in terms of conversations about them, where there is a great portion of their conversations about who they've been in the past, about going to three straight Super Bowls, about being in the middle of a dynasty. And all of that certainly counts. You don't want to be the one that's premature when it comes to kind of kicking dirt on the Chiefs and ending this regime. Like, they are still very much in the middle of being a Super Bowl contending winning type team. The other parts of the conversation feel like they are to the in waiting part. Well, wait till this team gets Rashee Rice back. Wait till they get all their receivers healthy. Wait till they get there. That they're in this very weird part of, well, what do we do about now? They're not having Rashee Rice for the game coming up on Sunday against the Lions, and you're talking about potentially playing the best team in the league. That's just the best way I can describe them right now. They just feel like a team right now that is in waiting. They don't have their complete offense. We also know that their defense usually starts to trend up and they start playing much better football in the second half of the season. So it kind of feels like we are just all waiting until they play Buffalo. They play Buffalo coming up in 3 weeks. And after they play Buffalo, I would say, again, things really start to ratchet back up for the Kansas City Chiefs. Not that these games aren't important. They certainly are. But the same way that we looked at the early portion of the season, as you knew in those first four games, hey, you got some really important tests. It feels like they have that same thing coming up after Buffalo. Like, this is where they are. They play Buffalo on the road against Denver, home game against the Colts, and then they play on the road against the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. That's a really difficult stretch of games. Buffalo might be the best team in the AFC. Denver, I know you guys might not want to hear this, Denver might be the best team in the AFC West. Indianapolis is the best team in their division, and it's the Cowboys on Thanksgiving, and the Cowboys can score a lot of points.
You can score a lot of points on the Cowboys, but the Cowboys are a team that are very prepared to get into a shootout. I feel like we're all just kind of waiting for that stretch because usually that's the stretch that the Chiefs normally turn the corner. They play the Bills on November 2nd. And that is November 2nd to Thanksgiving. Usually by that point, you feel like the Chiefs got a lot of the issues figured out. Special teams starts to turn the corner. The defense starts to turn the corner. They've kind of figured out on offense who they can trust and who they can't trust. I feel like we're waiting for that stretch. That's the term I would use.
I understand your point, and I don't disagree with it. I do think, though, fans to some extent have viewed Rashee Rice like he's some magic cure-all. I think some of the ails the Chiefs are feeling right now is more than just they don't have a number one wideout. Like, I know we talked about it a lot yesterday. It's not like having Rashee Rice makes Chris Jones' effort problems on the goal line yesterday go away. It's not like having Rashee Rice means that Drew Tranquil and Chris Jones aren't going to have, you know, a little bit of beef down in Sao Paulo. It's not like Rashee Rice is going to just come in and everything's going to be so hunky-dory that you're not going to see any frustration from the team with Juwan Taylor anymore. Like, I think Rashee Rice coming back, and I understand your point about waiting, does make the offense better. And if the offense gets better, they should do more winning, and winning cures all. I understand the trickle-down effect. But some of the things you're seeing from the Chiefs are just uncharacteristic. Like, they were 2-3, and it was just football happened. Okay, cool, but it's 2-3, and there's some things you don't see very often this team. And I'm not talking X and O's or scheme. I'm talking like little sideline and on the field snafus. That's just not what we've seen. So I do think Rashee Rice makes a big difference, but I do worry that some fans view, hey, number four gets back on the field, magic cure all, and the Chiefs are exactly what we thought they were on paper. I don't know it's that simple. Just snap your fingers, get Rashee out there, and all the problems are fixed.
I do think that football has happened in a little bit, at least when it comes to Kansas City. I really do believe this, and maybe this is like a coping mechanism. I've used the roulette analogy. I think the Chiefs were the guy that sat down at the roulette table and kept putting money on red, and red kept coming up, even though it is the same odds every time that you do it. You got about a 47% chance if you keep putting it on red. And I feel like the Chiefs got really, really hot during a stretch, which is partly because they are a very, very good team. And we can admit now, man, some real fluky stuff happened last year. Like, if you want to call the Trevor Lawrence play fluky, them and the way that they beat the Broncos was a little bit fluky last year, with the way that they beat the Raiders last year, a little bit fluky. So those things just, I think, happened a lot for them in a very good and positive sense. And now I just think the reverse is happening. Now you're not doing anything different at the roulette table. You keep playing it on red, and now the table has just gone cold a little bit. It's just going to swing in the other direction. I think, at least for me, the biggest reason why I'm not going to panic yet when it comes to the Chiefs, even aside from Rashee Rice, I don't think the Chiefs are going winless in one-score games this year. Right now, they haven't won any of those. So those games that we would deem as 50-50 games, they haven't won any of those 50-50 games. I think they're going to win a couple of these 50-50 games. I'm guessing that Sunday, if the Chiefs win this game, it's a 50-50. You are not blowing out the Lions. They could win this game for sure. I would be very, very stunned if they did to the Lions what they did to the Baltimore Ravens. The Lions are not nearly as bad as that Ravens team. So it's going to be another close game heading into the final 5 minutes. And can you execute and can you make the play? I'm guessing that whether it's the Raiders game or the Commanders game, they'll probably also find themselves in a very similar situation. That's just how the league is. You play 55-60% of your games this way. I just think right now the Chiefs are in a little bit of a cold streak, a little bit of a losing streak when it comes to that. But ultimately, things always swing back in the other direction. And last year, where you went 11-0 in these scenarios, this year you go 6-5 in those scenarios. You go 7-4 in those scenarios. So you end up winning 11 or 12 games where last year you won 15, but just some of your luck just eventually ran out. And I feel like at least a little bit of that has happened with the Chiefs.
What you're describing is regression to the mean. And we had a lot of conversations about this in the offseason. And you were part of this. The text line was part of this. Every national media type, and they were all deemed Chiefs haters, was screaming from the mountaintops, hey, you ain't going undefeated in one-score games anymore. That's not a sustainable model. Everyone threw out that Minnesota Case Keenum stat. Everyone had that stat. Now, I agree with you. The Chiefs aren't going winless this year. But are you sure they're going to jump back to more one-score wins than one-score losses? Because regression to the mean is currently happening to the team.
For sure.
So if you go, if last year you went 10-0, this year you started 0-3, if you go 3-7 in those one-score games, that's the difference between hosting an AFC title game and being out in the wild card round, which that's just regression to the mean, which is a fine mathematical thing, but not fine by fans as a end of season, we look back at it type of deal.
I guess maybe what I would say is, and I don't think we're that far off, if the Chiefs go 3-7 in one-score games, they ain't making the playoffs this year. Like, I'm just, according, like, in that analogy, if you play 10 of those games and you lose them, and that's just only the one-score games, like, that's not counting, like, you could lose by 14 points to the Lions, you get beat by 10 points to the line, that's not a playoff team. I still look at them as a team that I expect to win their division and a team that's going to make very serious noise once we get to the postseason. So I don't think that they're getting to the 3-7 part. I think this team probably ends up like 6-4 in those close 50-50 kind of games. That inevitably, when they get their offense back...
I apologize, Renato. You have them going 6-1 in the next one score games. Or is it 6-4 starting from now when they go the next 10-1 score games? Because if we're using last year's 10-1 score games metric as our barometer, you have them at 0-3 right now. You have them from here going 6-1 in those games. Because I'd also tell you the math doesn't say that is happening this season.
But I guess maybe my point is, I mean, if you still have the Chiefs accomplishing their goals, that's what they're going to have to do. Like, if you are one of the people, maybe you're not, it's perfectly fine. But if you still think this is the team that's winning the AFC West, you're not 3-7 in one score games. If you think this is the 3 seed in the AFC or 2 seed or wherever you think they eventually land, you cannot be that bad in one score games. So I still look at them as being a team that I think can win 11 or 12 games. You and I talked about how I thought they were going to be 5-3 when they headed into the game against Buffalo. They are still very much online to be that team. I told you, I thought they would either lose to Jacksonville or Detroit. I just didn't think this team was consistent enough to win both of those games. You get back Rashee Rice, you got 2 home games. You got the Raiders at home, you got Washington at home, and then it's go time from there. I would say at that point, there are no more excuses. We just went through it. Buffalo, Denver, Indianapolis on the road against Dallas. I don't want to hear any more about suspensions, injuries, any of those things. We have seen 2 months of Chiefs football. At that point, you were starting to establish you are what you are at that point. And I do think that their defense is going to turn the corner and be a little bit more consistent than what I think we've seen so far. And I think you have to be encouraged by what you've seen from their offense the last couple of weeks. And you also have to be encouraged by the fact that they get their best offensive player back coming up in exactly 1 week. So adding another explosive player to what you've been able to do the last couple of weeks, I don't think they're that far off from being that team. I think it's been a handful of plays. I think it's been a 3rd-and-14 in which you didn't get off the field. It's been a missed interception. It's been a bobble ball here. I don't think they're that far off, but I think maybe to your point, or at least the point I think you're making is, there's like 15 teams in the league that also find themselves in that exact same place. Like, we could play this game for everybody. I could play it for the Eagles. I could play it for the Broncos. I could play it for the Chargers. Like, there are 10 to 12 teams that find themselves in this category of uncertainty right now. And for the first time in a while, I would say the Chiefs are firmly in the middle of that uncertain place right now.
100%. And you're right. I do believe the Chiefs, their offense, their... I think we're going to continue to have conversations throughout the course of the season. Their D-line is just woof. Their D-line's a problem. I do think, though, their offense is showing a little bit of what we thought they could be. Patrick Mahomes starting to look like, hey, the person a lot of people bet on to be a MVP type of player in 2025. Like, the offense is starting to roar to life. So I will give people credit for, hey, it's just no Worthy, no Rice. It's starting to look like it could be those things. My point is just, while that all looks better on the football side, man, sometimes it's all about the way the ball bounces. Like, I don't want to call wins in the NFL lucky or fluky. That's a poor term. But sometimes just things beyond your control happen and you win or lose a game. And it felt like all those things went the Chiefs' way every single time last year. And right now, they are not catching those breaks. They will over the course of the season. No one goes from 10-0 and 0-10 to end up in 10-10 in one score games. That's not how it works. It will take time to even out. But I think in the meantime, while they are trying to figure out their offense before Rashee Rice, you are seeing they find themselves more close games, and the weird bounces of the ball are affecting them more. And that's why I said, circling back to this conversation, fragmented, because it seems like this team is not responding well to adversity, which is a larger concern for me than just, hey, the offense is starting to turn the corner. There is a, hey, this team hasn't faced adversity in a while, and it doesn't look like they're dealing with it as well as you would like to see. They're not used to being 2-3, and it shows.
I can't get over this. There are like certain clips that we have that just, they get like stuck in my mind, and I just like can't shake them. This might be one of the new ones. This might be my new Mr. Unlimited.
But Baker Mayfield also did it without his number one wide receiver, Mike Evans. And you got to give credit to this rookie sensation wide receiver out of Ohio State, Emeka Egbigbu, going for over.
I don't know why. It's just, it's so funny to me.
It's
really
nowhere
is.
Close. It's not even close to his name. Egbigbu. What are you doing?
Like, I don't know how you see his name, and I don't know how you come up with that pronunciation of his name. Now, I'm not mad at Rob Gronkowski because I think there's all a name that we struggle with. I really do. I think there's all a name that we as broadcasters struggle with. I told you, the one for me is the quarterback of UCLA, the kid that used to be at Tennessee and then played himself. He wanted more money, and then he ended up that kid. I don't know his name. I know it's Nico, and that's all I know. I don't know anything else. I couldn't pronounce Tua for the longest time. I'll never forget. I went home and I just kept listening to the pronunciation of it. And I kept practicing and practicing until I felt like I had got it right. So I think we all have these names. There's some names you just got to throw in the towel. This guy earlier said that Ochai Agbaji gave him the toughest time. He couldn't pronounce it. It took him years to figure out how to say it. Maybe that's what that name is for Gronk. Maybe this is his name that he just can't pronounce.
But Baker Mayfield also did it without his number one wide receiver, Mike Evans. And you got to give credit to this rookie sensation wide receiver out of Ohio State, Emeka Egbigbu.
Yeah, that's it. Just, everybody has that name.
Watching the rest of the Fox desk, all just...
Everybody looked at him like, oh. Everybody was so confused. He wasn't close. Like, he wasn't in the area. We got to start giving people credit more when they try. That's the thing now. Now when you try and you fail, people make fun of you. Like, no, he saw something. He wasn't 100% sure, but, I mean, he at least said his name. He said it with great conviction. He really thought that's how you pronounced it, which, I mean, okay, I respect that. You did your best. He then cleaned it up on the back half. When he did it again, he got a lot closer the second time than he did the first time.
I'm all for giving people credit for trying. I really am. He felt like he nailed it. I don't think he was giving it a college try. I think he felt like...
He didn't even stumble before he got there. A lot of times when you're unsure, you'll stumble a little bit before.
Like, if we were talking about Tennessee and you said, Nico, I am a leaver?
I have no clue how to pronounce his last
name. But, like, if you...
Do you
like,
know how to pronounce his name?
I think it's I am a lava. I don't
sure?
know.
Sure?
That's as close as
okay,
I'm going to get.
I don't know.
If that's wrong, I don't know.
I'm just saying, I don't know. That could be his name. I don't know.
My point is, if we were talking about Tennessee in the playoffs last year and you came up on his name, you would either A, go Nico, or you would, like, slow down and try. Gronk was all in. Great job by the rookie. Emeka Egbigbu. Like, what? The confidence is what shook me.
One of the things I learned in college, I would say this was actually the most important thing I learned in college, was communication is the ability to communicate your idea to a group of people in a way that they understand. So I really try to focus in on that. So when I say Nico and I say the quarterback at UCLA, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I don't know how to pronounce his name, but that's not what's important. All I need to do is to get you to understand what I'm trying to say. You knew who he was talking about, even though the very talented wide receiver from Ohio State, even though you mispronounced it, you knew what he meant. You knew what he was trying to say. I think he did a great job communicating to the public. I learned something from Gronk right there.
You know what? Texan makes a good point. Do you know what name I still struggle with? The Royals manager. I believe it's Quatrero, but I just go with Q. When we talk about him on the air, he's Q. He's the guy from Bond. Just Q.
It's Matt Quatraro, right?
I think that's correct.
Yeah, I think it's Matt Quatraro.
I'm not confident. I just call him Q.
Okay. I mean, I've
heard Quatraro too, so I don't know which one's correct.
I mean, right now on the text, are you looking at the text line? Did you see the top? there are two different people with two completely different pronunciations of how you pronounce that man's name. I'm serious. Two completely different numbers. Two people tried to phonetically spell out his name and have two completely different pronunciations for how you do it. Just say you don't know. I don't know. I don't mind telling you guys I don't know.
How angry are you that they beat Penn State and he came back into your life? He had disappeared from the zeitgeist and now he's back.
I'm just saying. People just, I don't know. People are like, oh, you're supposed to be in sports. You're supposed to know. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I don't have the answer. I don't know the answer to your question. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to pronounce the quarterback for UCLA's name. I'm just going to tell you that off the rip. I have absolutely no clue. Coming up on the other side, I want to play the latest on the stadiums with Bob Fesco, and we'll get back to the Chiefs coming up at the top of the hour. We'll also play our conversation with Patrick Mahomes coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we'll get back to the Chiefs coming up at the top of the hour, but I want to play for you guys the updates from Bob Fesco regarding the future of the stadiums. Now, in no way am I trying to diminish, disparage the updates from Bob Fesco. I got to play him for you. He's got news. I consider Bob to be a friend. He's a colleague. I got to play him for you. But some of this is, I just feel like we've been doing this for 18 months. You know I love a good relationship analogy. Every fella listening has been in this place before. You're just sitting there with the young lady, your partner, whomever it can be, and then she just looked at you and like, so what are we? Where is this going? That's where I feel like we are with the Royals and the Chiefs. So where are we going? What are we doing? We're no closer to figuring out where the stadiums are going to be. But every once in a while, we get a little bit of a breadcrumb. We get a little bit of a, oh, hey, this is news, when it really ain't news. Here's Bob on the latest with the Royals. So the Royals, they reached out to Clay County, and they're entertaining the Clay County idea again. They still got the Washington Square Park idea. They still got the 119th and Nall idea. The Royals don't know what they're going to do. Here's Bob Fesco.
Clay County would also have to vote in Dusty a sales tax. I heard yesterday somewhere between 0.75% and 1% sales tax. That would push the sales tax in Clay County and KC Mo to about 9.5% and in Liberty to 9 and a 9.75% sales tax. So essentially a 10% tax on everything that you buy would be the new kind of tax rate up in Clay County if you're in Casey Mo and if you're in Liberty. And you also need a vote of the people if you're going to go to Clay County. In Kansas, you don't need a vote of the people. I don't think anybody wants to go to the vote of the people. Plus, Clay County is not accessible by any sort of highways whatsoever. It's just a bad location. And in Clay County also, too, the one thing that people aren't factoring in, the Royals, if they go to 119th and Nall, are there by themselves. There's no entertainment competition for them. If you build in Clay County, you're competing with Power and Light. And you know what else you're competing with? That massive entertainment district that the Kansas City Current are building right there across the river. The Clay County thing makes zero sense for me whatsoever. And it just doesn't sound like anything that seems, ooh, that sounds good for the Royals. You know, the Atlanta Braves did this 20 years ago. They built the TED, if you will, downtown Atlanta, where they had the Olympics. They converted it. 20 years later, they moved to the suburbs. That's what I think would happen in Clay County. They would build that stadium. It wouldn't give them what they want. And in 20 years, we're doing this again. And then we're really talking about, you know, going out to Johnson County. So from the Royal standpoint, I just think the Clay County idea is just a terrible, terrible, terrible idea.
All right, a couple of things. I guess thing number one, I live in downtown Kansas City. There's not enough things that happen in Power and Light for you to feel like you're competing against Power and Light. If it's not hot country nights or an event going on, people ain't down there, man. People are not down there on a random Monday to go down there and eat or go to bars or shop. That's not what Power and Light is in the city. That's what Westport is. That's what other parts of the city are. That's not what Power and Light is. That's what the Plaza is. People go down there randomly to hang out and people do not use Power and Light in that way in this city. Come on now, we know that. That's number one. This is number two, and I don't think Bob has the answer. I don't think anybody has this answer. No one's ever been able to, I guess, answer it for me. If the Kansas offer is so great, why haven't the teams now in 19 months, why haven't they just taken it? The vote ended last April. It's the next year, October. The Kansas offer has never changed. It can't change. At any point, if the Chiefs just were like, we're done. You can't get anything more out of Kansas than what you already can. Same thing for, like, I guess, why is this taking so long if the answer is just going to be we're going to Kansas? I don't know. Maybe you have the answer, 913-586-7965. I don't know. I don't know why they just haven't done that, if that's what the plan is going to be. And in the end, especially if it's the Chiefs, with the Royals, I think it's different. I think the Royals legitimately don't know. The Chiefs just have fewer options because there's fewer places in the city that would make sense for the Chiefs. There's the Legends and where they currently are. Do you want to build a new stadium or do you want to renovate where you are? Now, if they're getting all the information, I'll play that for you now, sure, but at least for the Royals, they're only thinking about building a new stadium, and they're not thinking about building a new stadium where they currently are. So there's a couple of different places for it. I get why the Royals is taking so long. But if this new deal is so great, why are we still going through this? I don't think we're going to get any clarity in the 2026. I think it's going to end up being like 2 years after the vote when we finally figure out what either one of these teams want to do. I want to play one more of this, and then we'll get back to football here coming up in a bit. Here's Fesco talking about the latest plans for the Chiefs.
The Chiefs are also going to put out an RFP, or an RFQ as they call it in their world, a request for proposal is what an RFP is, to every other design firm in the world that has built stadiums to say, hey, we're going to potentially build new in Kansas. Show us your best effort. So they're going to go to every architectural firm in the world, okay? And they're telling them, other than Populous, who's working on a renovated Arrowhead, they're going to every architectural firm in the world, give us your best people, give us your best design, put your best foot forward, let's see what you got. And those are four stadiums potentially in Kansas right now, right? The renovation is what's staying in Missouri. A new build would be in Kansas. So they're getting the best of both worlds. They're doing all of their due diligence. Should give us your best foot forward on renovation. Give us your best foot forward on new in Kansas. And so the news is they're still talking to both sides of the state line. Now, I have heard and been told by multiple reliable sources that if the Chiefs wanted to build a stadium in Kansas today, They already have multiple sites that they currently own where they could build a brand new stadium today. And the other thing that is out there, and we've talked about this, the Kansas City Chiefs have had long, in-depth conversations with the Olathe School District about building their practice facility out in Olathe and getting in together with the school district to make it a learning experience and a learning environment for the Olathe school districts.
This is what frustrates me, at least from the Chiefs' perspective. Why didn't the Chiefs do all of this and then ask us to vote? You're telling me now they're doing their due diligence on both ends? Now they're doing their due diligence on what a renovation would look like, what it would cost like, what's realistic, what's feasible. I'm just ready for this to be over. I imagine you guys are also ready for it to be over, but as a proud tax-paying citizen in Jackson County, I want some clarity, and neither team provides any clarity. We get every 6 weeks, whether it's Bob or Jonathan Ketz or our guy Matt Evans, we get a little bit of morsel that is packaged in a way that it is a new update. It's not. The Chiefs have been telling us this for 18 months. They are evaluating all of their options and keeping all of their options open. And the Royals are doing the exact same thing. They've been doing this for a long enough period of time. I don't think we find anything out in 2026. I don't think the Chiefs on week 11 heading into Thanksgiving are announcing what their plans is for the stadium. So I think the earliest we find something out is spring training for the Royals. I could very easily see when they start a new baseball season in Surprise, they announced then what their plan is going to be heading into next year. I mean, you got to start sooner rather than later. The lease is just going to be up. I just don't know why they just didn't do a lot of this in silence and then bring it to us to vote on it. It just feels like they wanted the money and then they wanted to do the research on what they wanted to do with the money. And I think people saw right through that and just said, no, we're not giving it to you until you give us a plan of what you want to do with the money. Coming up on the other side, we'll get back to the Chiefs. We'll also play our conversation with the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.